In the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. This is a text. I think Brother Clary used this text. I've used it before. I'm going to use it a little bit different way, but it's very familiar. 1 Samuel 30:1. I taught a lesson, a long series one time. Maybe we'll do it here. I don't know how many weeks it went, called The Life and Time of David. And there are so many ups and downs and all arounds in the life of David. You're somewheres in the life of David. You're somewheres in there. And so maybe we'll do that one time. But anyway, right now, let's go to the word of the Lord. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. This is a city that was designated to him, is really an enemy city. But David found comfort in that city as he fled from Saul, knowing Saul would not go into this land for fear. So he found comfort in that city, and they let him live there while the anointed one, the future king, living in the city of the enemies. And when he had come and his men to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein, they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they wept until they had no more power to weep. They wept until they could not weep anymore. I want to preach for a little while this thought. Hurry up and burn out. Hurry up and burn out. They wept till they had no more power to weep. God, I come before you this morning. I ask that you open up our understanding to this word this morning, and that we understand what you're trying to say, and then take it out of here and live out what we have learned. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I burned a few things around my camp up at Toledo Bend recently and stacked up a bunch of trees. I burned them, and they burned, and they burned, and they burned. Well, you know, you have to tend to that fire. As long as it's burning, you got to stay there and tend to it. So I thought, well, I need to go eat. It's almost out, you know, and Jerry was with me. We're going to run down to the little cafe down there and get something to eat. So I got out there with a water hose and you know, he hit them coals. They go, and I was hitting them. Boy, they was all just smoldering, you know, and I watered it really good. And I said, well, it's out. It's burned out. We went and ate, and I come back. I got there just in time. They didn't, because it was going over to my trailer. You know what happened? It hit those tires. And then had a couple, two or three little sheds there. And man, I got there just in time. I didn't tell her. She's just now learning this. And I got out with that water hose, and I watered her down again. Well, later on that night, I went to bed, and it was troubling me. It may not be burned out. It just may not. I looked out, opened the window. I get up in the middle of the night, opened the window. I was concerned. I got up in the middle of the night, got out there and got that water hose. I'm going to make sure you burned out. I'm asking you to hurry up. Burn out. Hurry up. Hurry up and die. There's a story of an old naval ship that was headed to an island to take captive one of the enemy islands, and they sailed to the ship, landed to the island, landed the ship, and they all got out. Captain wanted to make sure that everyone got out, and they said, everybody get out of the boat, get out of the boat. All the militants got out. They took out some goods, and even the boat keepers got out and stood on the edge of the bank. He said, is everybody out? They said, everybody is out. He said to the two guys that was securing the boat, he said, burn it. Burn it. They lit that ship up until it burned out. It sank in the water. And soldiers began to look at each other and say, now we're going to have to fight. There's no way to escape. If we're going to live and we're going to survive, we've got to give it all we have. And I want to tell somebody early in this sermon, you need to hurry up and burn your boat. Burn your boat. Because as long as you have a way to get out, you'll hold on to that thought that someday if this doesn't work, I'm out of here. Burn the boat. You'll never stay committed to the fight as long as you have a little way, a plan B. Plan B has to burn. The spiritual flame that God has for us should burn within us. And it should burn out everything else. Burn, you know, it says silver tried in the fire. You know what you do? You're burning everything out. You heat it till it all comes to the top and you can take it off. And God wants to use every one of us, but he will never use you until you burn out to the world. Till you burn out and there's nothing left. Then he can use you. Jacob did not become Israel until Jacob burned out. As long as Jacob had a trick up his sleeves and a way to get a blessing and a way to get a birthright, he was still alive. And old Jacob was still alive. But finally he reached the place where he laid his head down that night. He was burned out. And the Lord said, now that you've burned out, I can use you. And as you know, he became a prince with God once he burned out. And I'm here to tell somebody, God's waiting for you to burn out. Moses did not encounter the flame of God until he first burned out of his own fire. Moses was somebody. And one day you looked at Moses, he was living in the palace with Pharaoh, known as Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, eating at Pharaoh's table, drinking Pharaoh's wine. I'm sure all the other Egyptians told him, must be nice, must be nice. But God could not use him until he burned out. You know the story, he had to flee from the king of Egypt. And he fled into the wilderness and got him a little side job with his father-in-law tending to sheep. Anybody could do that. His father-in-law was being nice to him, just giving him a little job to make ends meet. But old Moses was beginning to burn out. He had run long and he had run hard, but he was finally running out of fuel. The coals were finally, the smoke was going away, down to reality. And I'll read for you a little bit in Exodus 3:1. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he had led the flock on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. He had reached this place while he was on a mountaintop. Moses was on the bottom. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. You might say, I thought our God was a consuming fire. Lord, he is. He consumed your fire. He consumes your fire. No wonder Jesus said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, meaning it has consumed me. He said, my will is to do the will of the one that sent me and to finish it. That's my meat. He was consumed with the fire of God that sent him to do a work. And you and I, until you burn out with the world and the things of the world, God can't use you. This is not anybody shouting or anything, but you look at people today in life, you see them sitting there and they're like, in another world. And many times, my generation would say, you'd burned out on LSD. That was LSD, that was the big thing. I don't even know it, hallucinizing something or another, I don't know. Hallucination drug, LSD. Burned out on alcohol, burned out. You know you can burn out on church? Yes, you can, but you don't burn out with God. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Why is it not consumed? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said unto him, here I am, Lord, I'm right here. I am so burned out. I'm seeing things. I'm hearing things. Let me tell you, you know when you're burned out, when strange things start happening in your life. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein or thereon thou standest is holy ground. He had reached the place where he was burned out. Just whatever you tell me, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. No longer in charge. God's in charge. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, Moses, and he hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows, and I am come to deliver them out. Deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and bring them up and out of a good out of the land into a good land, into a large, unto a flowing land, land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites, and everybody say the Cellulites. I want somebody to know that God has seen your affliction. Here's what he told me. He said, I have seen your affliction. I have heard your cry. And I know your sorrows. Amen. Somebody needs to know that this morning, because as long as you're telling somebody else about your sorrows and telling somebody else about your trouble, you ain't quite burned out yet. You're not quite burned out. When you truly burn out, you quit talking about historical events. And you quit, the bruises of the past will not bleed into your future. He said, I have seen your affliction, I've heard your cry, and I know your sorrows. Let me tell somebody real quick, please burn out. Please burn out. Burn out to the past. Burn out. Let those embers of the past and the coals of the past die, lest they catch on fire again. God took a burned out Moses and sent him out as a flame of fire. He told them, I'm going to deliver you out of that land. And I've said this before, let me say it again. He said, I'm going to take you up, out, and into. That's what delivery is about. Delivery is taking something from one place and bringing it to a better place. Go ahead, order you a Domino's pizza. They can pick it up, take it out. But until they put it in your hands and deliver it to you, it's of no value to you. So just to get them out of the Egyptians' hands was not delivery. That was just an escape. But what he told them, if we got to first get up, then we're going to get out, and then I will bring you into this land that flows with milk and honey. God wants to deliver you out of what you're in, not get you out. God's not in the getting out business. He's in the delivery business, and he wants to bring you out of where you are and into a land that's much better than where you are now. Let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. David was anointed king about 22 years before he ever reigned as king. What took so long? What took David so long to burn out? That's what took so long. David was a scoundrel. He always seemed to have a little coal burning. Always seemed to have a little fire with somebody else. Come on. But the day finally came that he burned out. God's not going to light the anointing fire until you burn out. He's not going to compete with your fire. Your fire's got to go out so he can take over. David found himself living in the enemy's camp as a refuge away from Saul. And here we have the story where Saul is fixing to go into battle against the people where David is living at, with Amalek and all of these people, the Amorites and all those people. And David goes to the enemies, from the enemy's camp to the forefront of the battle, and wants to engage fighting with the enemy against his master, against Saul. And when they got ready to go, one of the militants looked over at the king and said, "Do you know this guy? That's the guy that killed the giant. That's the guy that delivered Israel that day. What is he doing here?" He said, "Oh, well, he's a good guy. He lives over in Ziggs." I said, "I don't care how good a guy he is. I'm afraid when he gets down there and starts fighting, he will mend his errors with his master and turn against us. He's got to go." And so they rejected him. Can I tell you, rejection helps you burn out quicker? Rejection will help you burn out quicker. And so he was rejected, and on his way back to the city, he sees smoke. He sees fire, and he knows there's trouble. And when he gets back to the city, he realizes that Not only is the city on fire, everything is gone. His wives are gone, the children are gone. He does not know at this time whether they're dead or alive. They're gone. That's all he knows. And I guarantee you one other thing he knows. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. And David and his people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept, and they wept, and they wept. And they cried, and they cried, until there was no more power to weep. Have you ever been there where you wept so hard there was no more tears left to cry? David lifted up his voice and wept until he burned out. But I'm here to tell you the Lord was hearing his cry. Amen. The Lord knows your sorrows, and he was going to bring him out of this situation. Finally, he burned out. You know when someone's burned out? Let me tell you when someone, you know when you're burned out. You don't have anybody to share your problems with. No one to go to, because you feel like nobody really cares. You're almost burned out. David was greatly distressed, the Bible says. For the people spake of stoning him. You know you're burned out when the people you once helped won't help you. Stoning him, because all the souls of the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David, you know you're burned out when the only one to encourage you is you. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning that may be greatly distressed and thinking that life has dealt you a bad hand, but I'm here to tell you, burn out. Burn out. God can help a burned out. He said, I'll take your ashes and give you beauty. David called for Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son. He said, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. You know you're burned out when you resort to prayer. You finally get down to the real thing that you needed to do all along was pray. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord. Now here, listen close. I want you to hear this. He's asking two questions. Two questions. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord gave him three answers for his two questions. He said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. And he added what David didn't ask for. Without fail. See, he's waiting for you to burn out. And when you finally burn out, then he can take over. Pursue. You not only overtake them, but you'll recover all. Without fail, you will recover everything you lost. Hurry up and burn out. Amen. When they got ready to make sure that the three men on the cross were dead, they got up early that morning to hasten their death because the Passover was coming. They came to Christ. They didn't have to break his leg like they did the others, because he hurried up and died. While the others were still trying to live, he was ready to die. He said, it is finished. Burned out. As they come this morning, God's waiting for someone to finally burn out. Nobody has your answers but you. You and God. And you're asking yourself this question, somebody, should I get up and try it again? After all of these failures, should I get up and try it again? Don't ask your mother, your brother, your sister, don't ask those people. Ask God. Ask God. I'm burned out to other people's opinions. I'm sorry. I've burned out to other people's opinions. I've burned out on people. You just burn out. And when you burn out, you'll start turning to him. And somebody needs to ask themselves and God this question. God, should I pursue? Should I go on? And when you are finally burned out, he'll say, get up and try it again. And this time, you'll recover everything you once lost. I'll make you whole again. I'll make you well again. David needed that in this point in his life. Because little did he know that Saul would lose that battle. And he would shortly become the king. But God wasn't going to put him on the throne until he burned out of the world. Burned out. I've been married to that lady over there for 35 years. Every other old flame burned out. Every phone number I had, just in case, was deleted. We didn't have cell phones back then. You just kept them in your pocket. Sometimes you had to refresh the number so it didn't wear off. She even found pictures I didn't even know I had. She said, you want to keep these? I said, no. She said, well, it won't bother me. I said, it'll bother me. And until you burn out in living for God, so I'm going to hold on to it. No. God said, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. Elijah even burned out. Called down fire from heaven, slew all these prophets, 400 prophets of Baal. Burned out. He goes to the cave and says, Lord, it's just me. I'm the only one left. And the Lord said, I've been waiting for you to get here a long time. What are you doing in there? Well, Lord, it's just me and left. He said, no, I got 7,000 more. Come out of there. I am not through with you. I got three more things for you to do. And one of the most important things was go find Elisha. I want to tell everybody here, God's got somebody for you. I talked to a lady just the other day, and I'll be over in that office in Opelousas Wednesday, and I asked a little lady, nice little lady, been there a long time, went through a bitter divorce. And every once in a while, I talk to her maybe once every year, and I say, have you found anybody yet? She says, no, there's no more good men. I said, that's not true. But what happens is you're not quite dead yet, because you're still thinking of the past one and the past situation. So you're not open to a new situation. I said, no, that's not like that. I got to share this with you. I was in Lowe's a while back, and I was looking over all these fittings, they have, and quarter inch and half inch, and I was like, man, it's like going forever. So there's this lady who's talking to somebody on the phone, and a little boy is clinged around her legs, and she's talking, and she said, yeah, there ain't no good men in this world. You hear me? I don't need a man in my life. You hear me? I ain't. And she was just ranting and raving about men. And I'm standing there like, I think I'm a man here. I'm back up here. So she's ranting and raving. And after a while, she said to that, hold on. She looked at me. She said, do you know where the half inch? Just wait till you need one. You'll find out there is one. I don't know who I'm talking about this morning, who I'm talking to, but hurry up and burn the boat. Good things are waiting for you if you'll just burn the boat. Good things are waiting for you if you'll just burn the city. If you don't do it, God will, because he loves you and he cares for you. He said, I want to restore what the cankerworm and the palmer worm and all these worms ate all of your life. And I can do it just like that if you'll burn the boat. As you stand this morning, Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Why don't you, if you will, if it's appropriate, take somebody by the hand, bring them down here to the front. I need somebody who wants to burn out to the world and they want to come alive to God. Is there anybody in the building? Make your way down here. That wants to burn out. I'm tired of the world and the things of the world. I'm not against family reunions. Y'all can have them, but I got one brother and I get to see him and we do good. But some of y'all come back from family reunions and y'all mad and fussing. You need to leave that alone. Leave that alone. Burn out. until you get committed, fully committed. You too fully committed? Fully committed. For better or for worse. Sickness and health. Till death do us part. Burn the boat. There's no way out. And when you realize there's no way out, you learn how to fix it. When you realize there's not another one, you learn how to fix it. Come closer. Come closer. You ever been burned out? Burned out. I've burned out a preacher sometimes. I've burned out of phoniness. Burned out. Burned out. And when I got burned out, I didn't go back to my boat because I didn't have a boat to go back to. Peter told the Lord, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He said, "That sounds good to me." And the Bible says he left his father. He took his brother while they were cleaning the nets. Andrew and John left their father while they were mending the nets. Followed Christ. And all of them started leaving little at a time. They started leaving Christ as he got closer to the cross. Till one day he turned to Peter and he said, "Will you go also?" And he said, "To whom shall I go?" Still had a boat. "To whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'll go with you to prison and to death." The Lord said, "I'm going to pray for you. Satan wants you that he might sift you as wheat. But I'm going to pray for you that your faith fail not. That your faith keeps on burning." And they come to get Jesus that night. And Peter was there. And when they saw the Bible says when he saw they had bound him, he began to follow at a distance. Do you know how many people are following Christ at a distance? They never really get close to God because they're scared to get close because they have to burn the boat. And so he followed him at a distance. And he went inside the courtrooms. The Bible says he sat in the back. No offense to y'all, but he sat in the back to see what the end would be. Walked out into the courtyard. The little lady says, "That Jesus guy, weren't you with him?" "Oh, I don't know him. Never met that guy in my life." "No," said, "your speech betrays you." Well, let me clear my throat. He was trying to cover up his failures. And finally, he decided, there's not going to be no kingdom. He promised us a kingdom and all this kind of stuff. And I was going to sit and write and James was sitting and left and all this. It's not going to happen. See, in the back of his mind, he thought he was going to sit on the throne. He was going to judge Israel and all this kind of stuff. And when he saw it had ended, he looked at seven other disciples and said, "I go fishing." Still had a boat. Still had a boat. And they all went fishing that night. And guess who appeared? The same one that caught him in the boat the first time. Said, "Lovest thou me more than these? I have fish on the fire. Now you bring your slimy things to me. Is this what you love? Is this what you want? But until you burn out, you can never feed my sheep." And he said, "Yea, Lord, I'm burned out. I'm burned out. I'm burned out." And the Lord said, "Feed my lambs." Close your eyes where you're at. Life has a way of burning you out. I'm asking you to let every ember die, every coal go out, because you'll never, ever go into your life that you need in Christ until the world is completely burned out of you. As they sang a song this morning, I wish I could get a fresh commitment. Ask God, don't ask your neighbor, "Lord, should I get up and try this again? Or should I just stay where I'm at? And if you're finally burned out, I'm going to tell you what the Lord will say. Get up and try it again. And this time, you'll recover it all. Everything you lost, you're going to get back. And the kingdom. David came into his anointed kingdom when he lost everything he had. He got it all back. And the kingdom. Right there where you're at, make a commitment to burn your boat. Let the city burn. In the name of Jesus. Everything to me. Hallelujah. Sometimes when I'm on the computer, it kind of gets bogged down, and it's just like it's going slower and slower. Finally, restart. Some of y'all need to restart. Just close. You know the way you got to close it down. Close it down. You got before you can restart, you got to close every file. And some of you need to close every file of your life. Every file, close it. And act like it's not there. What they're going to, doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter. Close out the files and restart your life. Fresh. Fresh. Every one of us has regrets. You got some regrets? You got some regrets? You got some regrets? I can't dwell on my regrets. I can't dwell on that. David could have said, well, Lord, I lost my wife. I lost this. Lord, I'm talking to you. Should I get up and try this again? He said, not only should you get up and try it again, you're going to get everything back. They're not dead. They still got them. You're going to get all that back. And then when he got that back, he got the kingdom too. God was doing something over there. I'm here to tell everybody, don't quit. Start over. Let's pray before we go. God, I come before you. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost be a flame of fire that burns in everyone here this morning. Let them burn out to the things of the world, the lust of the world, the pride of life. And God, let their eyes not look upon anything, God, that's evil, but let them look upon you, God. David turned his total attention to God, and help us, God, to focus on you this morning, knowing that it is your good pleasure to not withhold any gift from your children, but that you would give it to us, God. For you came that we might have life and that we may have it more abundantly. You gave your life that we might have life. You gave up your hope that we might have hope. And God, I'm asking you to restore this morning what anybody has lost, that life is taken from them, from the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.